In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Once again, we go back to the words of Jesus for what we believe about the supper. It's what we do as Lutherans. We have covered what it is, the true body and true blood under the bread and wine instituted by Christ for us Christians to eat and to drink. We have covered those words of institution themselves as foundational. And now we cover what good is the sacrament. That first lesson from Acts chapter 2 of the very young and small church reminds us, of course, that early church devoted themselves, wholeheartedly devoted themselves to the sacrament, that is, the breaking of the bread, as the evangelist Luke calls it, that they devoted. It was central to their very being as Christians, central to their very being as Christian congregation, to them being disciples of Jesus, to them being the church. Why? Why did they devote themselves to the Lord's Supper? Certainly Jesus says, do this, or this do. There is the command, no doubt. But very seldom is the command all that our God gives us for something that He wants us to do. He does not usually just leave us with the command. No, it's almost always that God adds a benefit, a promise, a blessing to something. It's no different with the Lord's Supper, that there is good in it and it is good for us. There are promises from God attached to it, and thus it is good for us. Given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You will hear that phrase over and over again in the coming weeks as we go through the catechism on the Lord's Supper. That Jesus' body and His blood are truly there. They are indeed given and shed for you for the blessing above all blessings. It is the foundational blessing for any Christian. It is the central purpose of every gathering of Christians and the church, the forgiveness of sins. When God warned Adam about what would happen with that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He said, on the day that Adam eats of it, dying, you will die. That God uses the word for death twice, certainly emphasizing it, but not just to emphasize it. That He is referencing here the double death that sin brings. That yes, it welcomes in physical death, but almost immediately spiritual death. This is evident immediately in the fall. Adam and his wife, having taken of the fruit of the tree and ate of it, they hide from God. They know their shame, and so they try to cover their own shame with their own things, which amount to fig leaves. And their relationship, their marriage, begins to commence in accusing one another of wrongdoing. After God sought them out, He pronounces physical death to Adam, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That sin had earned death, and that sin had earned condemnation. That the wages of sin is death, the soul that sins, it shall die. The sin of Adam means that in Adam all die. The sin of Adam also means that all are condemned, and all from sin. God, of course, could not just leave it with His pronouncement of judgment, but also, of course, gave the promise of this Savior in His pronouncements upon the doubly dead Adam. And so our Lord Jesus Christ undoes condemnation and death. He does it by undoing that which brought them both. He does this by suffering for sinners that which sinners earned. He gives his body and sheds his blood. The very body and blood that is found and distributed and eaten and drank in the sacrament. He does this for the forgiveness of sins. And so when his body and his blood are given out in the sacrament, it is for the same forgiveness of sins. That Jesus goes after the root of death, the root of condemnation. He goes after sin. And he brings the forgiveness that he earned in his suffering and death to bear upon sin. This is the good of the sacrament, the forgiveness of sins. That from this, then, there is no such thing as death and condemnation. That life and salvation flow right in progression from that forgiveness of sins. That Jesus undoes sin, and his sacrament then does the same. And because sin is undone, death and condemnation are undone. There's more good, but it is all related to the given and shed body and blood of Jesus being given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. That everything in the Christian's life flows out from the forgiveness of sins. The lost righteousness that sin had caused is replaced with the alien righteousness provided by Christ Jesus, received by faith. The corrupted nature that sin has brought is fought against now with a new nature created in holy baptism and fed and nourished for this lifelong fight until God uses physical death to fully and finally get rid of that sinful nature. The guilt of sin is taken away, covered by the blood of the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, your sin. If you think of it, it is a worthwhile exercise to think of what the forgiveness of sins wipes away. That is, to think about first and foremost what sin brings, and then, of course, to think of what forgiving sin does. Sin brings lack. Forgiveness brings overabundance. Sin brings fears. Forgiveness brings peace. Sin brings troubles. Forgiveness brings calm. Sin wounds. Forgiveness heals. Sin weakens. Forgiveness strengthens. Sin brings sorrow and sadness. Forgiveness brings joy and gladness. Sin brings uncertainty and condemnation. Forgiveness is certain and sure. It makes you an heir of heaven. Sin brings death. Forgiveness brings life, both now and at the resurrection. Sin wears us out. It makes us weary. Forgiveness refreshes. Forgiveness gives us rest. Sin divides. Forgiveness unites. Sin breaks. Forgiveness restores. Sin makes enemies. Forgiveness reconciles. Sin makes us on edge and worrisome with God. Forgiveness makes us at peace with God and gives us a good and clean conscience. Sin builds hatred. Forgiveness brings love. Think of all of that. In the sacrament, Christ brings the forgiveness of sins, and along with it an abundance of grace and mercy, of peace and calm, and healing and strength and joy and gladness, of certainty, of life, of refreshment and rest, of unity and of restoration and reconciliation, a good conscience, and greater love. What good is the sacrament? The forgiveness of sins and everything that comes with it. That's the good. given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. That is the benefit, the forgiveness of sins. That is why we have it when we have it. That is why we encourage you to receive it often, just as Jesus did. That is why we catechize and prepare both adults and children to receive the gift of the supper when they are ready. This is why we strive to make sure that you receive it worthily and being well prepared for it. It's why we devote ourselves to the breaking of the bread, just as those first Christians did after Pentecost. Because it's God's good gift for you. And if Jesus says that it brings the forgiveness of sins, then why wouldn't we want it? What's the benefit? The forgiveness of sins. The root of all of our troubles in both earthly and eternal life, sin. The supper brings Christ's forgiveness to that evil root. It wipes it out. And then it remedies that bad stuff that comes from sin. And because God is exactly who He is, not only is the bad taken away in His great mercy, but also so many good things are added to it, given out of His overabundant grace. Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, earned by Christ, delivered to you in the sacrament of the altar for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.